We started publishing Alain Badiou with the turn of the century in 2000, and we have published Badiou ever since as a regular contributor. His third draft of a manifesto of affirmationisme holds political emphasis and intriguing new ideas such as constraining unanimity and miisme. Actually, he sees our time as drenched in the uniqueness of a doctrine that under the name of democracy builds up around it. Democracy. The enemy. With Badiou, any unique doctrine is desperate, nihilist, and the artistic subjectivity it leads to is a perverse endeavor. The sublime desperation of the body is formalized and thereof delivered to the jouissance of the unique. The very conspicuous in matters of philosophy, Alain Badiou teaches at the École Normale Supérieure and the Collège International de Philosophie in Paris. He has published plays and political essays, as well as a number of major philosophical works. Many books and articles by Badiou have become available in English, including St. Paul, The Foundation of Universalism, Infinite Thought, a collection of essays published by Continuum. The latest is his theoretical writings. With you, Alain Badiou, on the subject of art.
Thank you, Josefina. It's a good idea. My father was accustomed to say, we must begin by the beginning. So I must begin this lecture about the subject of art by its beginning. But what is this beginning? I think we have to begin with the oldest question, the question of being, the question of being as being. The being qua being. What is being? What are we saying when we say something is? Something of art is. Something of art, a joy forever, for example. What are we saying? I begin by a fundamental distinction between three levels of the signification of being. First, when I say something is, I just say that something is a pure multiplicity. Something is, and something is a multiplicity, is the same sentence. So it's a level of being qua being. Being as such is pure multiplicity. And the thinking of a pure multiplicity is finally mathematics. The second level is when we are saying something exists. It's the question of existence as a distinct question of the question of being as such. When we are saying something exists, we are not speaking of a pure multiplicity. We are speaking of something which is here, which is in a world. So existence is being in a world, being here, or if you want, appearing, really appearing in a concrete situation. That is, something exists. And finally, the third level is when we are saying that something happens. When something happens, we are not saying only that it is a multiplicity, a pure multiplicity, and we are not saying only that it's something in a world, something which exists here and now. Something happens is something like a cut in the continuum of the world, something which is new, something also which disappears, which appears, but also which disappears, because happening is when appearing is the same thing as disappearing. And so we have to understand the relation between the three levels, the relation between being qua being, pure multiplicity, existence, multiplicity but in a world, here and now, and happening or event. And so we can see that in a concrete situation, we have finally two terms. First, a world, a situation, something where all things exist. And after that, an event, sometimes an event, which is something which happens for this world, not in this world, but for this world. And I name a subject, a relation between an event and a world. Subject is exactly what happens when, as a consequence of an event in a world, we have a creation, a new process, the event of something. And so we have something like that. It's a in something like in a protest, my revendication. The point is that the relation, the subjective relation between an event and a world cannot be a direct relation. Why? Because an event disappears on one side, and on the other side, we have never a relation with the totality of the world. So when I say that a subject is a relation between an event and the world, we have to understand that indirect relation between something of the event and something of the world. The relation, finally, is between a trace and a body. I name trace what subsists in a world when the event disappears. It's something of the event, but not the event as such. It is a trace, a mark, a symptom. And on the other side, the support of the subject, the reality of the subject in the world, I name a new body. So we can say that a subject is always a new relation between a trace and a body. It's the construction in a world of a new body under the jurisdiction, under the commitment of a trace. And the process of the relation between the trace and the body is properly a new subject. So, when you have to speak about the subject of art, we have to speak about a lot of things. First, what is a world of art? What is the world for artistic creation? It's not the world in general. It's a specific world for the artistic creation. Ah, it's the police. So it's the first question. The second question is, what is an artistic event? What is a new singularity in the development of the artistic world? Third, what is a trace? What is the trace of an event in the artistic field? And after all that, what is the construction of a new artistic body? But before all that, I want to clarify by some examples the question of the subject as relation between trace of an event and construction of a body in a concrete world. And I want to refer to our situation today, to our world today. Because I think that there are today two subjective paradigms. I can propose that the concrete situation of our world today is something like a war between two subjective paradigms, two norms of what is a subject. The first one is a strictly materialist and monist philosophy of the subject. And what is, finally, a monist philosophy of the subject? It is the affirmation that there is no distinction, no real distinction between the subject and the body. If you want, in the first paradigm, I show in the first paradigm, the subject is something which is finally identified to the body as such. So, a subjective creation is a sort of paradigm is only experimentation of the limits of the body. A subject is something like an experience of its proper limits, an experience of finitude, an experience of limits of the concrete unity of a body. But finally, what is the limit of a body? A limit of a living body? The strongest limit of a living body is death. So we can say that in that form of subjective paradigm, a subject is experimentation of death as final limit of the body. And I think, for example, that there is something like that in extremist form of body-heart. Body-heart is experimentation, direct experimentation of the limits of the body as exposition of itself. But in fact, the limit, the absolute limit of something like body-heart is experimentation of death as such. And the real and final experimentation in the field of body-heart can be to commit suicide in public. And it's a philosophical determination, because a long time ago, Heidegger has said that finally Dasein, or the subject, is a subject for death. I can name, in general, the subjective paradigm, which is experimentation of the limits of the body, something like enjoyment. Because enjoyment is the name of experimentation of death in life, experimentation of the big thing as death in life itself. So we can say that the first paradigm of subjectivity in our world is the paradigm of subjectivity as enjoyment. But in enjoyment, we have to hear the French jouissance. It's not exactly the same word. And the definition of enjoyment is experimentation of death in life with experimentation of the limits of the body. And naturally, enjoyment is beyond pleasure. Pleasure is something like experimentation of life in life, but enjoyment is beyond pleasure because it's experimentation of the limit of the body as death. So we can say that that sort of subjectivity, of paradigm of subjectivity, is a subject for enjoyment. And I think it's the Western paradigm today. It's in fact our paradigm, subject for enjoyment and experimentation of the limits of a body. The second one, the second paradigm, is an idealistic theological or metaphysical philosophy of the subject. The subject can be completely separated from its body. In the first paradigm, the subject is finally the body itself. In the second paradigm, the subject is completely separated from its body. It is against the subject as subject for enjoyment, the revival of a profound desire of separation, the desire of existence of the subject as separated of its body. The goal is to find in life, in action, the point where the body is only the instrument of a new separation. And you see, it's not experience of death in life, as in enjoyment, but it's assumption of a new subjective life by the means of death itself. So we can say that that sort of subjective paradigm is experience of life in death, which is opposed to the experience of death in life. And we can name sacrifice that sort of subjective experience of life in death. And the contemporary world is a war between enjoyment and sacrifice. And the war against terrorism is finally a war between enjoyment and sacrifice. But in this war, there is something in common. There is something in common between the two paradigms. What is common to enjoyment and to sacrifice? Finally, what is common is the power of death. Power of death as experimentation of the limits of a body on one side, but experimentation of death as the mean for a new life in the other side. So, with the war between enjoyment and sacrifice, we are finally confronted to the power of death. And there is no real place for artistic creation in that sort of war. I am convinced of this point. Neither on the side of the power of death as enjoyment, nor on the side of the power of death as sacrifice, there is no real opening for a new artistic creation. So we have to find a third possibility, a third paradigm. We have to propose something as a new subjective paradigm which is outside the power of death, which is neither enjoyment, that is pleasure beyond pleasure and limits of the body, nor satisfaction in the sacrifice, that is enjoyment in another world, or pleasure beyond suffering. We can say that neither pleasure beyond pleasure, neither pleasure beyond suffering, neither enjoyment nor sacrifice. In a much more theoretical framework, we can say something like that. We have three possibilities of relation between a subject and its body. Three possibilities. And so we have three possibilities for a subjective paradigm. First one, reducibility. Reducibility, the subject can be reduced to its body. We can say that we have, in that case, an immanent identity of the subject. Immanent identity because there is no separation at all, but complete identification between the process of the subject and the becoming of its body. In that case, the final norm is enjoyment, experimentation of death in life. The second possibility is separability. Separability. The subject can be separated completely from its body. There is, in that case, transcendent difference. Transcendent difference because the subject experiments itself in a transcendent world and not in the sacrifice of its proper world. The third possibility that I propose, it's something like immanent difference, not immanent identity, not transcendent difference, but immanent difference. In that case, the subject is not reducible to its body, so there is something like an independent subjective process. There is really a creation which is not reducible to the experimentation of the limits of the body, but it's impossible that exists some separation between the subject and its body. So there is neither separation nor reducibility. And that is the situation of the subject when we can understand it as a process of creation, a process of production, a process which really organizes the relation between the trace of an event and the construction of a new body in the world. And so we have to find something which is not in the field of the contemporary war between enjoyment and sacrifice. And I think the question of the subject of art is today that question, this question, to find something like a new subjective paradigm which is outside the contemporary war between enjoyment and sacrifice. And we have a lot of problems to organize this new paradigm which has to understand completely how a new body can be oriented by a subjective process without separation and without identification. So we have to maintain the distance between the trace of the event and the construction of the body. I show you once more my revendication, which is, you can understand now, the revendication of a new subjective paradigm. Give me a new subjective paradigm. And so you can see that if the subject is completely in identity with the body, there is no real difference between the trace and the body. And so finally, the subject is completely in the world. If you have a separation, a complete separation between the subject and the subject is completely on the side of the trace. And so it completely in the dependency of the event as an absolute event, an event which is outside the world. So in one case, the subject is completely in the world and it is an experimentation of the limit of the world. And on the other side, it is completely outside the world. And so it is on the side of something like an absolute event. And so something has a God, like God. You can understand. And so in the two subjective paradigms of the contemporary war, we find the subjective process has in immanent situation, complete immanent situation, and indistinction with the world, or in complete separation and indistinction with radical or absolute event. What we have, and we can see, we in the two paradigms, we cannot have something like a real process of production. We have experimentation of the limits and finally of death in the life of the world, or you have something like transcendance and religious determination. So the question of the subject of art is really to maintain the distinction between the body on one side and the trace of the event on the other side. And so we have, I think, to solve something like five problems. So it's a great exercise that I give to you to solve five problems. First problem, if really the subjective process as a process of creation is in the field of a distance, but an unseparated distance between the trace and the body, we have to interpret the event as an affirmative one and not as a purely disappearing or transcendently thing. If really the trace of the event is in the constitution of the subject, but not reducible to the body, we have to understand that an event, a real event, is something affirmative. And it's a complex question because certainly there is a sort of disappearing of the event, and event is a split, is a break of the law of the world. So what is the relation in real event between the negative dimension, rupture, break, split, as you want, and the affirmative necessity, if really event is not absolute and irreal event. So we have to think of an event, and for example, of an artistic event, as something like an affirmative split. It's the first problem. The second problem is the very nature of the trace of an event, if an event is something like an affirmative split. What is the trace? And it's a very complex discussion, because the trace has to be in the world. The event is not exactly in the world, but the trace has to be in the world. And so what is a trace? What is a real trace which is in the world, but which is in relation with the event as affirmative split? It's the second great problem. The third problem is, what is the constitution of a new body? Because naturally, we have, in the case of the subjective process, something like a new body. Only a new body is in the possible disposition to have something new in the creation in relation to the trace of the event. The trace of the event is not reducible to the body, but the body is not reducible to the world. If you have my... Once more. You can see that if the subjective process is really in the distance of the trace and the body, we have to interpret the construction of the body as a new body. Because if the body is not a new body, it is completely in the world. And it's not in relation, a concrete relation, to the trace of the event as an affirmative split in direction of the world. So the third problem is, what is in the world a new body? What is a new composition of multiplicities? what is really something which is the support of the subjective process, the support of a trace. That is the third problem. The fourth problem is the question of consequences. We have a new body, we have a relation to the trace of an event, so we have something which is a materialist creation, the process of materialist creation of something new. What are the consequences of all that? And how we can be in the discipline of the consequences? Because naturally, if there is something new in the subjective process, we have to accept the incorporation in the new body, and so the discipline of the consequences, of the practical consequences of existence of the new body. And the final problem is to find something like an immanent infinity. Because if the subjective process is something like a new creation in the world, we have an infinity of consequences. You cannot have an experimentation of the limits, precisely. We are not in the first paradigm, which is experimentation of the limit. In fact, there are no limits. They are potentially or virtually, to speak as Deleuze, we have virtually an infinity of consequences. But this infinity is not a transcendent one. It's an immanent infinity. It's the infinity of the body itself in relation to the trace. So we have to understand what is an immanent infinity and not an transcendent infinite. So our five problems are event as an affirmative split. What is exactly a trace of an event? What means the constitution in the world of a new body? How can we accept the discipline of consequences? And what is an immanent infinity? And that is the question we have to solve to say something about the artistic subject. So I have to solve the five problems. I have to say something about the possibility to solve the five problems. But in the artistic field, not in general, the problems are absolutely general. They concern all types of subjective process. But what is the question in artistic field? First, we have to say what is an artistic world, what is a world of art, something like that. It's our first question, preliminary question. I propose to say that a world is an artistic one, a situation of art, a world of art, when it proposes to us a relation between chaotic disposition of sensibility and what is acceptable as a form. So an artistic situation in general is always something like a relation between a chaotic disposition of sensibility in general, what is in the visible, what is in the audible, and in general, And what is a form? So it's a relation, an artistic world, between sensibility and form, and it's finally a proposition between a split of sensibility between what is formalized or what can be formalized of the sensibility and what cannot. So it's something like that. No good. In S is sensibility, F is form. So the general formula for an artistic world is sensibility in the disposition of a relation between what is a form and what is not a form. So something like that, very simple. So when we have something like an experimentation of relation of that type between sensibility and form, we have something like a general artistic situation. It's a completely abstract definition, but you can see the nature of the definition. So, if you want, a state of affairs in the artistic world is always a relation between something like our experimentation of chaotic sensibility in general and the distinction, which is a moving distinction, but is the distinction between form and inform, or something like that. And so we experiment an artistic situation when we experiment something which is in the relation between sensibility, form, and inform. But if this is true, that is true, what is an artistic event? What is the general formula of an artistic event? We can say that, generally speaking, an artistic event, a real artistic event, is a change in the formula of the world. So, it's a fundamental transformation of that sort of formula. So it's something like the becoming formal of something which was not. It's the emergency of a new possibility of formalization. Or if you want, it's the acceptation like a form of something which was inform. It's the becoming form of something which was not a form. And so it's a new cut in the chaotic sensibility. It's a new disposition of the immanent relation between chaotic sensibility and formalization. And we can have something like that, which is, if you want, the event, the artistic event as an affirmative split. This time, S is always sensibility, F is form, and F prime. F prime is the new disponibility of the formalization. And so you have something like that. When you have an artistic event, sensibility is organized in a new way because something which was in form, that is a symbol of negation, we have negation here, what is something which was in form or no formalized is accepted as a new form. So we have here the becoming of inform in something which is formalism. And the split is with the new negation of the form, which is the negation of F prime. So that is exactly the general form of an artistic event has an affirmative split. Why it is an affirmative split? It's a split because we have always relation between affirmative form and negative one. What is formalism, what is accepted as a form, and what is not accepted as a form. So it's a split in the chaotic sensibility between form and inform. But it's a new determination of the split, an affirmative split, because something which was in negation is in affirmation. Something which was not a form becomes something like a form. So we have really, in an artistic event, something... So we can see the affirmativity of the split is when something which was in the negation part of the formalized possibility becomes an affirmative possibility. So we can say that in the field of artistic creation, the affirmative split is finally something like a new disposition between what is a form and what is not. And the becoming in a positive form of something which was not a form is the affirmative dimension of an artistic event. What is a body? What is the construction of a new body? A new body in artistic field is something like a real concrete creation, work of art, performances, all that you want, but which are in relation with the trace of the event. And the trace of the event is something like that. It's finally always the declaration that something is really a form, that something new has the dignity of a work of art. And that is the trace. The trace is something like a manifesto, if you want, something like a new declaration, something which says this was not a form and it's really now a form. That is the declaration, so the trace of the event. And a new body is something like a work of art which is in relation with that sort of trace. And often, in the field of artistic creation, is a new school, a new tendency. There is, generally speaking, some names. Names of a school, names of a tendency, names of a new fashion in the dimension of artistic creation. And that is the new body which is in the world, in the artistic world, is the new artistic world. It's the creation of something new in the world, in the artistic world, in correlation to the trace. And we understand what is the discipline of consequences. In the artistic field, discipline of consequences is a new subjective process, is something like really a new experimentation, a new experimentation of the forms, so the new experimentation of relation between force and the chaos of sensibility. And so it's the same of a new school, of a new tendency, of a new form of creation, of artistic creation. And the very interesting problem is the final problem. What is in all that the immanent infinity? What is the creation in subjective artistic field of a new existence of infinite? I think in artistic field, the immanent infinity is finally something like the infinity of the form itself. And what is the infinity of the form itself? It's the possibility that the new form, the new possibility of the form, is in relation, in direct relation with the chaotic sensibility. And a new form is always a new access, a new manner of, a new entree, a new access in the chaotic of sensibility. And so we can say that in the artistic field, the creation of forms is really the movement of the immanent infinity, is really an access of the infinity of the world as such. And so we have really in the development of a new tendency, so of a new body in the artistic field, something like a new development of immanent infinite. It's not only something else, it's a new manner of thinking of the infinite itself. And it is why it's very important today to have something like a new artistic experimentation. Because I think that the political question today is very obscure. I was saying that our problem is to find something which is not in the field of the war between enjoyment and sacrifice. To find something which is really a third subjective paradigm. I think there is a specific responsibility of artistic creation in that search. Because often, when political determinations are obscure, artistic determinations clarify the situation. And so, as a philosopher, I can say to you, I think a number of you have relation to artistic world and to artistic field, there is today a specific responsibility of artistic creation, which is to help the humanity to find the new subjective paradigm. So the subject of art is not only the creation of a new process in its proper field, but it's also a question of war and peace. Because if we don't find the new paradigm, the new subjective paradigm, the war will be endless. And if we want peace, real peace, we have to find the possibility that subjectivity is really in infinite creation, infinite development, and not in the terrible choice between one form of the power of death, experimentation of the limits of pleasure, and another form of the power of death, which is sacrifice for an idea, for an abstract idea. That is, I think, the contemporary responsibility of artistic creation. Thank you. Oui.
Somebody has a question.
Tu as compris?
La distinction between enjoyment.
La distinction et aussi comme il y a the enjoyment dans le sacrifice, dans le sacrifice dans le enjoyment.
Yes, yes, I think the distinction is also the definition of something in common. And I name that the power of death. I think in the sacrifice there is the question of enjoyment in an other world, for example, or enjoyment for an idea. And in the enjoyment there is the possibility of sacrifice of the self for something which experiments the limits of the body. So naturally, there is something like reciprocity between enjoyment and sacrifice. And it is why the contemporary war, which is between that sort of the two paradigms, is also something like a complicity. And it's politically and subjectively very important to see that in the contemporary situation the two parts are naturally completely opposed, but also on one point completely identifying one another. And the real point in my conviction is the relation to death. And so it's a question of what is a body. And I think, if you want, that, and it's also the question of art today, the third paradigm, the third subjective paradigm, is something like experimentation of life in life. What is the potency of life in life? And not what is the power of death, or what is the limit of the living body. Experimentation of life in life, and I think that different exploration or experimentations of art today, when they are not in the paradigms of sacrifice or enjoyment, are something like a search of forms and relation between forms and living experimentation and so on, which really are the potency of life in life itself, and not the power of death, which is the common point between ideology of enjoyment and ideology of sacrifice. Excuse me, we have linguistic problems, but could you repeat the end of your question? It's in relation with that sort of revendication, yes. 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 Ah, yes, yes, yes. Yes, I understand absolutely your question. If you permute the old form, the old delimitation of the form and the new, we have something like an academic oppression. We have something which says that we have to oppress the new form by the delimitation of the whole form. And so it's what I name the reactive subject, because with whole form of subjectivity, we have also, which is associated to the new subject, something like a new reactive subject. And in the field of art, I think that academic reaction is the name of the reactive subject. And so I agree with you. Finally, the formula of the reactive subject, the academic reaction, is to permute the place of the form. I think, in fact, that the resurrection, the fable of resurrection, or the metaphor of resurrection, is certainly adequate to say something about the question of a new body. Because in resurrection, as you know, it's not exactly the whole body, which is, but something like a new body, a glorious body. I think there is always in artistic creation something which is metaphorically in relation with a glorious body. And why? Because a glorious body is nothing else than a new body which accepts a new form, which accepts the strong form, the strongness of new form. And if, finally, the question is to have a new body in relation to the trace of an event, we can accept, as a metaphor of that, the body of resurrection. Because it's something like the glorious body of the event. And it's a definition of a work of art. The glorious body of the event. In any case, real artistic creation is something like a glorious body of an event, and that is acceptation of the new form against the old disposition between what is formalized and what is not. I think the question of finding something new in the becoming of generic humanity is really a question of today and not an eternal question, because precisely we have in the field of a singular war the question of contradiction, apparent contradiction between the paradigm of enjoyment and the paradigm of sacrifice is really our situation. It's not the situation in all the time. And in that sort of situation, it's an obligation, I think, it's an obligation to find something which affirms the generic humanity as such, which affirms the possibility of humanity as such. And but what is humanity as such? And is precisely the multiplicity, the absolute multiplicity of human beings has never destined to sacrifice or to pure repetition of the experiences of limits. So it's no less than the creation of a new humanity. It's a big program. But it's our situation. It's our situation. If we don't invent something like a new way of being for the humanity as such, the war will be endless, really. The war will be endless. As you know, George Bush has said that the war will be long, in fact. But we can interpret long as endless, certainly. And for ontological reasons, not only political or superficial reasons, which are that after the hand of the gods, finally, in the new materialist situation of the humanity, there is something like, in fact, a tension, a great tension between paradigm of subjectivity. And that sort of tension has no solution without the creation outside of the war of a new signification of the peace. Because we don't know what is peace today. We don't know. It is the reason for which there is a possibility of an endless war and finally of a destruction of humanity. Destruction by imminent destruction, destruction by itself, not by a great atomic war, but slow destruction. Slow destruction. And slow destruction by incapacity to find the new subjective paradigm. And certainly, the new subjective paradigm is in the direction of a new universality, a new conception of what is a universality, so what is the generic existence of humanity as such. Yes, the question of if the process is the process of creation or the process of production is not very simple. And as you have clearly remarked, I hesitate between creation and production. And why? Because I think that there is creation when we speak of the relation between the new body and the trace. So when we are speaking of the apparition of new forms, of really the effects or the consequences of an artistic event. Creation is a good word in that case. But if we think of the detailed construction of the new body as such, which is finally the materialist process, I think the word production is better. Because we have really something like the production of effects of a new body and the new composition of an artistic school, the construction of a new tendency. And so there is always in the artistic process a relation, a tension between creative dimension, which is general relation to the trace or to the event, finally, and something like a work, really, sometimes a collective work, which is very near a work of production. And it's one of the dialectics of artistic process, which is the dialectics between creation and production. We stop now.
The War of Terror?
Yeah. Oui, oui. No, I think the contemporary war is what I speak of is something probably more general than the concrete situation, the question of terror, the question of democracy, and so on. It envelops all that because it's a sort of metaphysical war. you want. And it's the very essence of the concrete situations, which can be very complex and are something like multiplicities. So we have something like a great war, which is not exactly a war in the military sense, but much more a war in a metaphysical sense. And the concrete disposition of war with the question of terror, 11th of September, and so on, and the situation of Palestine, of as you want, all that is multiplicities which are finally disposed in the field of the great war between two subjective principles. But it's an absolute singular war because there is no signification of a victory in that sort of war. That is the new situation. We cannot say there is any significance, any possibility to say, finally, in this war, we will have the victory of enjoyment against the sacrifice, or the victory of sacrifice against enjoyment. Because the common point, which is the power of death, has its consequence that there is no concept of victory or defeat in that sort of war. So the creation of peace is not inside the war. That is a new situation. Generally speaking, when you have a war, you have a negotiation between the two parts, or you have a victory of one part over the other. But in the present case, I propose to say that it's not the situation. So peace is outside the disposition of the war. And so it's a new relation between peace and war today. It's really a new relation. And it's absolutely without effect to say we want peace. Naturally we want peace. But what peace? That is the question, and the question is not simple because it's not victory of a part in the war, it's not a result of negotiation between the parts, and so on. Because the common point is death. So the war is endless, and its imminent decision is destructive, is a destructive one. And it is why we have to create peace, which is a completely new situation. When we were, for example, in a revolutionary conception, the revolutionary conception was the conception of a victory. And or defeat. But in the present situation, we are not at all in that sort of case, because we have to create a new concept of peace that we don't really know today. And if artistic production or creation is something very important, it's because, probably, I think, it's my conviction, there is in artistic creation something which is appropriate to find the new peace, to find something which is really in the direction of the new peace. Because art, as such, is not inscribed in the present war. Not inscribed in the present war. Because the present war, there is no place for artistic activity. Neither in enjoyment, neither nor in sacrifice. So the question is really a disjunction between war and peace. That is the new concept of the situation of the world. There is no dialectic articulation between war and peace. Peace is outside war. And I think that is the reason for which something is open for artistic creation in a new proposition to the humanity as such.
Bon. Three questions, and after that...
Three questions. One. Okay. Yes, yes, you.
Oui, oui, oui. Oui, mais après la question.
I think the question of the power of death in the two sides is abstractly speaking, in the first case, the case that I name, the case of enjoyment, that experimentation of the limits of the body, when the body is the subject as such, when there is no possible distinction between the process, the subjective process, and the body, experimentation of the body finally is experimentation of death, because experimentation of the limit of a body, in its very essence, is finally experimentation of death. There is no other possibility. And so that is a first form of the power of death. And in the second form of the power of death, we have the contrary. That is, the death is something like an instrument, a mediation for a new transcendent life, a life which is not in the world, which is in another world, and so on. That is the martyr, the sacrifice. But it's another form of the power of death. So if you want, the power of death in the first case is the power of exploration, of experimentation of limit. And in the second case, the power of death is to go beyond the limit, to go beyond the limit of the world for another world, our life, for a god, for an idea, and so on. And so, in any case, the relation is between death and limit, death and finitude, something like that. And it is why I think that the question, and it is also a question in artistic field, is the invention of a new form of existence of infinite, which is not the theological existence of infinite, and which is not the pure experimentation of the finite limits. And so we have to find an affirmative infinity of a new type, of a new type. But when you speak of the different parts in relation to the new collective subject, the different parts are parts in the concrete situation, contemporary war, something like that. Yeah. Yes, I think I understand your question. I think when you have in a situation the construction of a new body, for example, a new collective body, a new political body, you have, if really it's a new body, so it's really in relation to a trace, to an event, and so on, we have always a new disposition of the whole parts, not only by incorporation to the new body, but also because in the whole part, we have to define the relation to the new body. And so there is an active dimension of the new body, not only in relation to itself, but in relation to the world, to the totality of the world, the totality of the parts. And it's the apparition of a third possibility, which it's a new disposition for all the old disposition of the world. So there is always a complex system of new relation between the parts of the situation in the world and the apparition and the construction of a new body. And we know perfectly that in the artistic field, because when there is a new school, a new tendency, a new creative dimension of artistic in the artistic field, all the old parts, the old activity and so on are transformed. There is no pure relation between the old world and the new world. It's much more complex, because the new body is in the old world, and so there is relation of newness everywhere. The last. It's for part a matter of definition. It's the definition of art, of not exactly of the process of art, but of what is an artistic situation, what is a world of art. And the definition is that the world of art is relation between sensibility and form. And naturally, this relation is a relation of transformation, is not a static relation. And so we can define also, if you want, artistic creation by the creation of a new sensibility by the means of new forms. And it's absolutely a possibility. And the creation of new sensibility by the means of new form is also the creation of something which can be formalized in sensibility. And so the question of the passage of old forms, that is old sensibility, to new forms, that is new sensibility, too. Thank you very much.